clean carpets around Australia, paid our way around. And then I was like, oh, travel bug, I want to go overseas.
You know, I left school pretty young. I left school at 14. My mum wasn't always big on the education system. So I come home from school after a bad day one day and said, Mum, I don't want to go to school anymore. And she went, yeah, okay. No worries.
4 years ago, one was cleaning carpets. And 4 years ago, one was basically running machinery in an excavation business. And 4 years later, they've accumulated over $100 million worth of land and have done over 170 lots.
I was watching other developers that were half my age killing it. 20-year-old kids doing this with none of their own money. Surely I can do it. The subdivision cost was only like 170 odd thousand.
About 150,000 to build that.
The strategic alliance partnership going, let's just do raw cost. You guys are then splitting the 770. That's where your margins lay. It's not just all just an investment strategy. This is a business now. In this podcast, we interview Shannon and Carson, two incredible coaching clients at Unemployable. But they're not just any type of regular coaching client. These guys have done over $100 million worth of land subdivision deals and developed over 170 lots of land. We break down every single deal they have ever done, over 20 deals. They break down where they were, how they funded it, why they bought it, and how much profit they've made in every single deal. It's honestly hard to believe that Carson 4 years ago was cleaning carpets and 4 years ago Shannon was a machine operator. They literally open up their entire book of deals to us on this podcast and we break it down every single one. You guys are gonna absolutely love this one. They left nothing on the table for us. Make sure you watch it right to the end, because they break down every deal, and the last deal, over $9 million worth of profit in one deal. See you there. Welcome to another Unemployable podcast. Today, we've got Shannon and Carson from Salt Developments. These are the guys that we keep talking about over and over and over again, that 4 years ago, one was cleaning carpets, and 4 years ago, one was basically running machinery in an excavation business. And 4 years later, they've accumulated over $100 million worth of land and have done over 170 lots in between Gold Coast and Brisbane. And today we've got them on the pod and they're basically going to show their blueprint on exactly who they are and how they got into these property deals. And it's going to be an amazing show and I can't wait to show you guys what they prepared for us. Carson.
Yeah.
How are you?
Good, mate. Good to be here. I'm glad we get the chance to run through this. So I'm excited to do it. Be good.
It's been a long time coming. And Shannon, how are you?
Good, mate. Thanks for having me here.
Yeah, appreciate you guys coming. And Mark?
Yeah, I'm happy to be here. I've heard so much about the guys on previous pods and I've been hanging to meet them. I've always seemed to miss them when they were here and I wasn't. So, yeah, I'm wrapped to be on this one and to get right into their story.
It's amazing, you know, we're sitting here probably about 12, 13 months ago and Shannon and Carson joined Unemployable Coaching and we've created such a good relationship with the boys over the time and they're just such amazing, humble human beings and you guys are going to get to know this in a little bit because Carson and Shannon is going to break down their story a little bit and get a little bit personal and then we're going to go right into these deals that they've done and the beauty of it, it's a bit of a blueprint and it's going to show you guys right from the beginning on their first deal and you're going to see the profit margins and as the deals keep increasing obviously so does the profit which is amazing to see but again these guys just stay so humble and for those of you guys that don't know we're partners in Unemployable Property which is going to be our new coaching program all revolved around property and showing how we can teach you guys the exact same things that they're about to show you on the slideshow. So we've got, for those of you guys that are watching on YouTube, we've got a bit of a slideshow that we're going to be going through. And there's aerial photos of the actual deals, so you can actually see what they look like. For those of you guys that are just listening, we'll be referring back and forth to the slideshow. If you do want to watch it, you go on YouTube for all the Spotify and Apple Podcast listeners. I guess we'll start with you, Carson, and a little bit of your background and your story on how you got into the property space.
Yeah, well, I'll take you back to the beginning. I grew up in the sticks of WA, about 2.5 hours southeast of Perth, in the wheat belt. So yeah, sheep and wheat farm. So yeah, it was just footy, school, and that was about it. So we started getting towards the end of 11 and 12 and still had no idea what I wanted to do. And I remember sitting in the back of the car with my folks looking at some real estate. They wanted to get an investment property. And I remember the agent saying, they said, "Oh, how are you going with your business?" He's like, "Oh, I made 60 grand last month." This is 20 years ago. I'm like, "I think I know what I want to do now." So I was like, "Oh, I'm gonna be a real estate agent. This sounds right." And it's probably one of the easiest courses you can do, and I flunked it. So after year 12, went and did that, pulled out halfway through, actually went into the office, and with the guy that was going to put me on, he was like the main sales agent there, and I saw two guys, I'm a little country boy, come up to the city fighting over commission in the room, and I was just like, "This is not me, I'm just going to get eaten alive here." So I just literally packed my bags that day and moved to my uncle's cherry farm, started picking cherries. So that was me. Fell into carpet cleaning after that. I had a friend of mine that was doing it, was trying to get on the mines, and he said, "Just do this for a little while." And that was me for the next 15 odd years. So wow. I did that for carpet cleaning for a couple of years, traveled around Australia with my brother, cleaned carpets around Australia, paid our way around. And then I was like, "Oh, travel bug." So I was like, "Gee, I want to go overseas." And that was kind of my journey into a bit of mission stuff. Went to Hawaii and then ended up joining a Christian mission organization for a couple of years. Met my wife there in Byron Bay. And then from then I was like, okay, I wanted to get back into the business world. That's what I kind of wanted to find something to get my teeth into. And so, yeah, started. We actually bought a hair salon in the Sunny Coast, moved up there. And then that didn't really work out for us, and we ended up coming back to Byron. And then that's kind of when I started cleaning carpets for my old man. We started our own business. And at that point, I bought a property actually when I was 18. I was cleaning carpets for a lady. I was like, she was trying to sell it. And I was like, "I'll buy it." And my old man was trying to kick me out of his house because we were having parties and all the rest. And so I was like, "Dad, no one will give me a rental, but if you help me buy this unit, I can get out." So he actually helped me get into this little unit, bought it, and started. When I traveled around Australia a few years later, it doubled in value, and I just thought I was the best property investor ever. Just got lucky, obviously. And then when my wife and I got married, there was a GFC hit. It was a property that I think it was 270,000 that I paid for. It was a dual key. I was like, "Well, this is good rent," but the body corporates were huge. I had no idea to even look into what the body corporates were. So it wasn't even neutral, even though I thought it was. And I ended up, even though I got it 50 grand under what they paid for it, I was like, "How good is this? I'm a great negotiator." And then I sold it for 2 years later because I couldn't hold it, and took for 275 and my in and out costs. I lost money. So I got lucky on the first one. The second one, I got burnt. And then our savings just dwindled. I had three kids, and I just couldn't. I was only on probably, 500 bucks a week for the first year. We're starting this carpet cleaning business, trying to raise a family. My wife was doing the old hair dressing job, wedding here and there. And then we, the most I ever got on to, 10 years later was like 50 grand a year. So first world problems, I know, but when you're living around, Tweed and Byron, it's hard to find. There wasn't much left over at the end of the day. So I was looking for a vehicle to get out of what I was doing. So I actually looked at join Amway and doing bits and pieces. That's when I did Adam's Amazon course, because I was looking for a vehicle, and then started getting educated on property. And then I just went, I'm not that kind of guy that can do a lot of things well. So I was like, I've got a passion in property. So I just went all in and started educating myself. And that was kind of the start of my journey. So,
I love the story so much. That's why I always, you guys probably get sick of hearing it all the time, but framing it in the way that we do, just going from $1,000 a week cleaning carpets to what you guys are doing now is absolutely out of this world.
It's huge. I didn't know that story, but I know the results, and I've seen the deals and whatnot, and I think, wow, these guys are doing amazing. And for people out there watching, your first impression could be, "Oh, well, what lucky break did they have?" But when you hear a story like that, you understand that it's just grit and education. And yeah, I'm sure we're going to dive right into all those deals. But yeah, that was incredible. Thanks for sharing that.
And then, so how did, we'll dive deep into Shannon's story in a sec, but how did you guys actually meet? How did you know each other?
We didn't at this point. So it wasn't to about two deals later or into my third deal that our wives bumped into each other at church, I think. And we actually started hanging out and I was trying to do my first deal and I was like, I had no idea. I was like, Shan, you're in construction. Yeah, can you look at this?
Can you help me?
I'm trying to get a JV party, but I have no idea what I'm doing. I'm trying to borrow his, you know, credibility to get a deal over the line. So
that was the old, we're having a barbecue if you want to come over. And then, hey, while you're here, this is a pretty big subdivision. Yeah.
I love that.
Pushing the work in front of me.
I love that. What a barbecue can do, eh?
Yeah.
So Shannon, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Well, mate, I grew up in Wagga Wagga, New South Wales, and a lot of the surrounding towns. So anyone who's been through the army just shivered a little bit. They've probably been through Kapooka. Moved up to the Gold Coast when I was young. And when I was a teen, I was in grade 6 or 7 when I moved up here. Lived at Mount Tambourine for a while and then jumped around the coast until my parents built. And I left school pretty young. I left school at 14, grade 8. I finished grade 8. And my mum wasn't always big on the education system. So I come home from school after a bad day one day and said, Mum, I don't want to go to school anymore. And she went, yeah, okay. No worries.
What year was that?
Grade 8. So I think I legally had to do grade 9 or had to be part of a schooling system still at that point. So I got enrolled for homeschooling for grade 9. And I literally just did the subjects I enjoyed. Like I did science and did a bit of design stuff and that was about it. I did nothing else. Didn't even submit it for the year. So I did very little there. And I started work pretty much straight away after that. So I was in work from 14. I worked for a local polystyrene factory on the Gold Coast and we did a lot of like building facades, all the polystyrene product, and they hard coat it and spray it. So we got a lot of that stuff ready for buildings and high rises and a lot of different applications. And they did a lot of sculptures as well. So in Dreamworld and all the theme parks, you got like the big octopus that sits over some of the rides and the cartoon characters that you sit with and get a phone and just stuff like this actually.
Yeah.
So
kangaroo.
Yeah. We used to make stuff like that and hard code it, and that was pretty cool. Then from there, I stepped out and went to Riviera. It was one of my mum's good friends. Had an interior design section in Riviera, so they used to do all the bedding and pillows and interior decor and all that. So I was there for a fair while. And then as my parents built their own house out at Benogan, I seen an excavator working, and I've always been a bit of a petrol head, and I seen this excavator working. I went, that's me. I'm going to do that. So I pulled out the old yellow pages, applied for every civil construction company I could. This little, fresh-voiced 15-year-old ringing around going, can I have a job? You got any experience? Didn't get me very far. And then I happened to walk into an office at Burley, and the owner was there, and he stupidly gave me his phone number. And then I harassed that poor fella until I had a job and ended up as a labourer doing civil construction. And then I stayed with that company from 2003 up until 2000, and it was either late 21 or 22.
Yep.
I still worked for them. And when I left, I started as labour and I left as the ops manager. So I went the long way around to getting a project management degree, but it was well worth it. Being a smaller family-owned business, you're part of every angle of the project. So I went from labouring to operating all the machinery, leading hand, supervisor, ops manager, and then in the later years I was part of accounts and pricing projects and liaising with prospective jobs and whatnot. So it was a really good career, and that gentleman, he's one of our funders now, so he's a good friend of mine and he helps us through our projects as well, so it's been a good relationship.
That's great.
Through that process we bought our first unit when I was 20, paid $292 for it, and we sold it six years later, and we sold it for $260. So we bought it in February 2008, and then GFC hit. It wasn't a lot of fun. Held on to it for as long as we could before we actually sold out of it, and thankfully we did reinvest. But at that point, I was like, property to rot. I'm never getting into property.
I remember that. I arrived here in 2007, and yeah, it was just so stagnant.
Yeah,
it was so many years.
Wasn't a lot of fun. Thankfully, I had a good job at the time, and we were moving around in civil construction. All my accommodation was paid for, food was paid for. So my wife and I moved around and went to all different projects, and we could afford the rising rates and just to hold on to it, thankfully, for that time. But I started a couple of businesses along the way as well. I started a small GPS installation company on machinery, which ended very quickly. Had a business partner, which we started off with, and I said, look, I'll work from the side. You're going to be the working party. We got about 2 months in, and he said, I'm doing all the work. And I said, oh, okay, I don't think it's going to work then.
Yeah.
So stepped out of that, bought some machinery, had a couple of graders that we did final trim work with and sent them around to projects around the place, and just didn't really have a fun time with operators. So people to operate the machinery was just hard. They wanted the world and didn't want to deliver the work very well. So bought two graders, ran that company for a couple of years. It was making good profit, mostly when we did our own projects that went well, but yeah, ultimately we got out of that as well. So
yeah, this is why I love the backstory, so people can actually start picturing a little bit, right? Like, you look at what you guys are doing now, yet your initial real estate journey started with losing a lot of money in real estate from not knowing what you're doing. And I guess, like you said, oh, I bought a unit for $123,000, went up in $260,000. I'm a professional investor. I know exactly what I'm doing. And then eating some humble pie, right? Because what people see now is, you know, the $100 million and some of the deals that you guys are doing are absolutely awesome. But it's good that, you know, these backstories, and I appreciate you guys sitting up here and being vulnerable, obviously, with your stories and how humble you guys are. Did you have any questions at all yet, Mark?
Or no.
You're okay?
I just think those stories are just so relatable to the average listener out there who's wondering, you know, how do I start on this property journey?
Yeah.
And I think what we're about to see is the steps to getting to,
yeah,
you know, because we often... No, it's very rare that someone emulates someone who does like a little splitter or something like that, but they're always emulating the person who's doing the $100 million deal. But that person once upon a time started with the splitter, and I think, you know, I'm just excited to get through these.
So what we're going to do now, guys, is we're going to go through each of their individual deals. A couple of these are pre-Salt Developments, which is Shannon and Carson's business. So at this time, it was just Carson investing in some of these properties, and then we'll let you know when they joined partnership and then went from there. And we're going to break down each of these individually. We're going to go through them fairly quickly because they're telling us that there's around 20 deals here that they've done. So for anyone listening on Apple or Spotify, I really, really, really encourage you to check this out on YouTube. So you can actually physically see some of these deals, what the houses look like, what the land looked like, and what the profit margins were like. So Carson, show us through this first one, separate titles and build.
Yeah, so obviously at this point, we didn't have any money. The money I made when I, you know, on that first deal and then lost a little bit on the next one, I ate it all. So at this point, I had no money. So I spent a couple of years trying to educate myself, going to different events, drag the folks along, and that was critical because I needed them to have buy-in to kind of what I was trying to do. So they only had a couple more years left in their working life, so I was like, how about, you know, I clearly couldn't even get a loan, but so this was a joint venture with my parents. One of the things I learned early days was probably one of the most simplest developments, if you want to call it that, is just to buy a property on two titles or three titles. So this one came up, I never even heard of a due diligence clause, but I just said, look, just give me 3 days due diligence. And it came up at like 4 o'clock that afternoon. I made the offer at five because I was just refreshing my phone all the time, keen to find something. It took me 12 months before my first deal. My folks were like, just buy anything. Like, come on, let's do something. Even if we make some mistakes, just do something. But I was freaking out. I didn't want to lose my parents' money. But we finally found this one. It's a good deal. Paid at $295,000, I believe. And then I said to the lawyer, can you separate the titles? And I think 2 weeks later, we had it valued with like $150,000 uplift just by separating the titles, because people amalgamate the titles, so they have to pay one set of rates. So yeah, it was about $145,000 uplift.
I'll run across the prices if you want, because I've got them up on here as well.
Yeah. The mistake I made was to actually build the houses. I could have exited and made 145 in like a matter of months, but we built two houses, which took 18 months. And this is probably where I fell out of love with building. It was a painful exercise. It was up in Springbrook. The whole row got washed away. The builder had to go like a long way around. It was just a nightmare. But we got there. I learned a lot through the experience, and that was our foot in the door to get going.
Holding costs? Yes. Is it what hurt you? Interest?
Yeah, holding costs. The holding costs weren't that bad. It was just by putting the house on it, it only increased in value for what. Springbrook was probably worst part of the market.
You lost time, so not much.
Yeah, it was opportunity cost is what I lost the most, because the market actually, Springbrook was very slow, so the rest of the market was starting to take off down the hill, and I didn't make any uplift by putting, and I could have gone back in the market and done another deal in the time that I was sitting around trying to make an extra 30 grand.
One of my favorite points in this slide is sold the original cottage back to the agent that sold us the property on Gumtree.
Yeah. So I bought it on the market, and the lady that sold it to me, so paid $355. I sold her the cottage on one of the titles back to her. I had it on Gumtree, and she goes, I actually used her copy as well. And she's like, oh, I noticed that copy. I was like, oh, sorry. Yeah, it sounded really good. She's like, actually, going for a situation, I need to get away for a bit. I'd love to buy that off you. I was like, you just sold it to me a few months earlier. So she paid $295 on that one title, and then I kept the other two titles. So I sold it myself. So,
what were some of the numbers there, Shannon?
So purchase price was $355. Your strategy cost was $635, and your net profit was $171.
So when you say strategy costs, is that the build?
That was the build.
That's the build, the DA's holding costs.
Yeah, we paid.
Yeah, so when we see strategy costs, that's basically all the costs built in, less what they paid for, and then the difference will be the
net. And that net profit number, is that before tax?
That's after tax.
That's after tax.
After tax. So $171,300 within about 2 years.
So I see the first kind of 5 years of our journey as we're an investor, and then I see this more as an investment. It's a more active strategy, but it's still probably more of an ester than a developer.
But the lesson, because obviously every project has lessons, and what Carson is saying here is, if he were to do this again, he wouldn't have done the builds. He would have just sold the vacant lots and probably just made as much money in a lot less time.
Oh, if I was coaching myself now, I'd put in a building envelope. Because I thought you had to build the house to clear the vegetation to then on-sell it, because it had trees all over it. But you could have just got it approved, cleared it, and then on-sold the block, which is what we do now. But I didn't know that at the time, and I had nobody coaching me or telling me what to do. I did a course, but I was still fumbling my way through. So,
cool. All right, Stuart, can you go to the next slide?
So this is the next one.
This is a DA flip. Gold Coast corner block.
Yep. So I was cleaning carpets. I finished early on a Thursday, and I was like, "What? There'd be no home opens on a Thursday." It was like 3, and this was like over 800 square meters. I was like, "Perfect corner block." I know you could do a dual lock on a corner block. The house was to one side, so we could keep it. And then there was now you can do a subdivision on the Gold Coast for corner blocks, but back then you could only do the dual locky. We picked it up, that lounge room, the bottom picture to the left. You couldn't actually go in there. It was a drug house. The house was hardwired to the grid. They hadn't paid power for 2 years, so the power got cut off when we went in there.
How much of the net profit is related to what you found in that room?
We actually made no money on the deal. But no word of a lie. So in the roof, I cleaned the carpets the night before settlement, came back the next morning, the window was smashed, and because the cops had to walk them out in the end, and there was 8 half vacuums, so just the storage component that were on the ground sprawled out everywhere where they had all the gear stored. It was it was pretty wild, but where we saw the opportunity with it, made plenty of mistakes again. Like I got a bit carried away with the design, did a partial third story in an area that didn't really warrant it. And I remember the comments back from council, like, this is a very monolithic design. It was big boxy, and like it was cantilearing, like
it looks a bit boxy, I must admit.
Mate, I thought I was breaking ground with that at the time, but nobody wanted to build it. And so when I got the build cost back, I was like, that doesn't make sense. So we just took it to the market, fogged it off.
Your designer jumped out at the same time, didn't they? Or was it a builder that was designed it for you?
And they... Well, I thought I was being smart by getting a builder on board to help, you know, give a bit of a... I had a designer, but I said to a builder, look, what can you build this for? Because I don't want to go down this path if you can't build it for X. So they said, yes, we can build it. And then, but when it came, after it got approved, they were like, actually, I took it to the big dog and, you know, there's waterproofing issues and we don't want to do it because I needed a cookie cutter builder to do it. And it was only the custom guys that would do it in the end, and it just didn't stack up.
And the time frame in and out of this one?
End up being like a year and a half, I believe. So,
And this was a joint venture. Was this with the folks again? As well?
This was the last one. Yep. Like, we're retiring. You got too risky. We're out of here.
So purchase price was $652,500. Strategy cost of $61,000. Obviously, this one took a bit longer, 18 months.
And for
these $87,000 in net profit.
Yep. And for these first two properties, are you putting up roughly 10%, 20% equity?
Yeah, we're just buying them as a... Resi loan, standard resi loan. We had a bit of cash in an offset account that we're using to do it with minor renos and the development costs.
Great. Yep. So it's a typical manufacturing equity on an existing dwelling, right?
That's right.
Obviously, the profit margins aren't as great when you look at long term, you know, over the 18 months, but this is still deep learning, right?
Yeah, that's it. I'm cutting my teeth. I'm starting to learn what a DA is. I'm starting to understand the consultants and you know, making some mistakes along the way. And it's all just building my confidence slowly, albeit I'm not hitting any crazy records.
And it's important to note as well that while those profit margins might be, you know, numerically a little bit low, the percentages might be good, but numerically the number looks low. The downside risk is also much lower in stuff like this as well. So, you know, you don't want to start with one that's above you.
Yeah, and this is the journey, right? Like, Carson here is still doing deals with, obviously, his parents. He's learning, right? He's done a couple courses. And he just, the key is here, though, is that he's taking action, right?
And at the end of the day, his money.
Yeah, they're making some money and it's taking a little bit of time. But the key is, he's educating himself in the market.
Yep. Aside from a couple of little mistakes, it's actually a really good PPR play, your personal place.
Yes.
But you're manufacturing growth in your home where you live. And
yeah, I agree. And when we say PPR, guys, obviously some people will know this, some people will not. So I pretend like nobody knows because we use acronyms all the time. So a PPR play, what Shane is saying is primary place of residence, which means when you move into it and you're there for longer than 12 months and you sell, there's no capital gains tax. So basically, if you bought your property and you live in it and you bought it for, you know, $800,000 and 5 years down the road, you go to sell it and it's worth $1.2 million and you've made $400,000 in uplift and you sell it, you pay no tax on the $400,000. That's just pure profit. And that's a strategy that I know a lot of people use. That's all they do. Now, there's a bit of gray area around that because you're not supposed to do it too many times, but I know plenty of people that are doing it and doing half decent out of it. So this is the third one. So this is joint venture three. It's a lot subdivision on the Gold Coast.
Yeah, this is the first time I realized, oh, what do I do now? Parents don't want to fund anymore. So I started reaching out to...
Got rid of the parents, started making some good money.
I'm going to show you.
This is the barbecue deal.
Yeah. So I started pitching some deals and throwing them up on, you know, some Facebook groups in different places. And some of the groups that I went to, there was other developers and investors. So I started just networking as much as I could. Found an amazing joint venture couple that has ended up doing a few projects with us. They come look at another deal which didn't eventuate, but then this one came up on the same street and you know, I offered the deal. I was like, oh, I'll take a 25% cut because I'm still kind of, you know, cutting my teeth, haven't done a subdivision yet. And and then I said, oh, you know, this is the profit. She looked at it and goes, where's the GST? I was like, I don't know, like, it's supposed to be GST in this. And she's like, look, this is not as profitable as you think. I was like, will you take 15% cut? And I said, I'll be a project manager instead of a JV party, so you can sack me at any point. There's no risk to you. You know the project's still a good deal. So what have you got to lose? And they took a punt on me. And then as I was putting the deal together, I was like, Shannon, can you have a look at this? Because I don't understand how to, you know, run through the costings. Thankfully, it was already DA approved. So the engineer had actually done what's called a bill of quantities, which kind of gave us a rough idea what the costing was going to be. So it gave me a bit of confidence that I had some rough ideas for pricing. And then Shannon put a team together to actually build it. So it was a three-lot subdivision. We got in and out of that reasonably quickly and, made a nice little profit.
And again, you didn't build anything on it, right? This was just raw land.
Correct. Yes, all the dirt.
Can you go back to that one, please, Tim? So purchase price, $905,000. Strategy cost, $379,500. And a total net profit of $330,500. Yep. What was your portion of that?
So I think we ended up with roughly $45,000. I think I gave Shannon roughly $15,000. I kept $30,000.
Okay.
That was our, it doesn't sound like a lot of people are doing 50% cut straight away, but I knew it was an apprenticeship that I wasn't paying for.
Yeah.
And
none of your own money in, right?
Correct.
Time, effort.
That's right.
Like
just sweat equity. Yeah.
But I love the mindset, right? Not going there, egotistical, going, no, I want the lion's share. It's that mindset you need to have. It's so strong.
And our sweat equity in that project wasn't high. Like we put together a team that went and built that project in a matter of weeks. I was still working away at the time. I was on a plane up to North Queensland every week. Carson was around. He was still working his normal job at that point. And yeah, so come together pretty quick. That's brilliant. And we actually didn't do weeks and weeks of work on the job there. So
that's good. All right, to the next one, Stu.
All right, one's literally next door. It came to me off market through the agent that was selling the one next to it. The guy wanted to do a joint venture, but the banks were breathing down his neck. And we sat down and said, look, he was very honest with where he's at. I said, look, I just can't bring someone into this deal or myself because it's we can buy it off you. And he's like, no, I want to do it myself. Long story short, I'm underplayed. He's like, help, I need to sell this now. So with my joint venture party next door, she... that we bought this one and he owed a lot of money. I'd negotiated with the engineers and some of the creditors to actually give them because we needed the drawings, but they wouldn't release them because they weren't paid. So I said, look, you're gonna get nothing, or I can give you X so I can get my hands on the drawings and then you get something, otherwise you can chase him. So we did a deal and made sure everybody was happy along the way. And it was we had some issues with the site. You can see there's a lot of flooding. I think we had 300 mil overnight at one point, and it just absolutely flogged the site. We'd actually sold the house off the plan and let them start renovating and moving in while we're doing the subdivision. And so they were just renting basically with an off-plan contract. The place got completely flooded, so we had to take the carpet cleaning in there and suck all the water out of the pool and the shed and all the rest. And but this is, you can see all the Corfu guards. This is the creek down the bottom. We had to plant all these trees. Most of them got washed down the creek. I had to replant them all and rehabilitate it all again. We had water mains burst three times. It's the old fibro water mains.
Yeah, up the hill up there. It was really high pressure to get the water up the hill to service all those lots. And it's old. It's been in the ground a long time, so it wasn't put in very well. It didn't have gravel around it. And as we were using earth moving equipment around there, the vibration literally burst the water main three times.
Wow.
Council come out, fix it, and then it would burst again. Then they come out, and just every time it destroyed the driveway, the roads were building.
So there was one existing house on this lot originally?
Just the one, yep. And then we created those three separate vacant lots.
Yeah, so it was four total.
Correct.
Including the original one.
Yep.
So this one was a purchase price. So before I get into that, you and Shannon are partners in this or not yet?
Yep, we're partners in this one as well on a similar split. Yep. And I think this one we were in on maybe, I think we were 30% all of a sudden. This one we had a slightly higher percentage.
So obviously you gave away the most at the beginning and now you're starting to get more confident, better in your negotiation skills. You're building the trust with your JV finance partner and that's the way it goes, right? So you bought it for $985,000. Strategy cost was $642,960. And a total net profit of $387,000, which Shannon and Carson got 30% of. 70% went to the JV partner who funded it. And then you guys are splitting the balance.
Yeah, correct. Yeah, I knew what GST was at that point. So we were able to get a little bit higher, which is nice.
And you developed PTSD for rain events at this job.
Coming from a farming background, seeing the old man put in the facts to find out when the rain's coming, it meant money, so it was such a good time of rain. And now if rain's coming, I'm freaking out, gyrosing it, washed away.
Building and land subdivision is not a good thing. All right, go to the next one. Let's do it.
This was a nice little one. Typically the split is around Brisbane now. You're paying land value for the two lots that there's not enough margin to get in and out.
What's a splitter?
Splitter is a house that's sitting over two lots, two titles. So we had a removal company paid us $35,000 and they did the site clean for free. It's already two titles, so we just separated the titles. We just had to hook it up to the services, the sewer and water, and I think it was just under 10 grand to do that. So very quick in and out project. The profit wasn't super high if we roll to the next slide, but very, very low risk and nice, easy in and out deal.
So was this already on two titles, you said?
Correct. Yeah.
So in Brisbane, there's a lot of these, right?
Yeah.
In certain areas. So basically, There's one house, right? Looks like a Queenslander.
Yeah.
On a block of land, but it's on two separate titles already. So all you had to do is knock down the house. In this case, they took it away, basically took the house and for free. So it didn't cost you anything. And then you subdivide. Well, if you already they're already subdivided, right? So you just sell them each individually.
Yeah. There's already two titles. There's no need to do
How long did this take you?
So I think the tenant was took a little bit longer to get out, but the actual, once the tenant was out, the deal took probably a few months at the point. That was just actually before I couldn't sell those blocks. This was middle of COVID and I had the two blocks. It took 3 months. We weren't getting any bites. And then they did the builder's grant. And I think on the Friday, and then by the Monday, both of them were sold. Mm-hmm. So we didn't get the uplift, but we moved the blocks.
But this is still with a joint venture.
Joint venture party.
What split was this at?
This one was a sliding scale. I'm not sure why we negotiated that. And because it took, I think I pitched it as a 3 month deal and it ended up being, 5 or 6 months.
Yeah.
So I think I had like a 35 split, but I ended up with like 20 because I had on a month sliding scale. Longer than.
So you shot yourself in the foot.
I did. Yeah.
Okay. And then the purchase price of this one was $605,000. Strategy cost was $75,460. Net profit of $69,000. 540, which you kept 20%, so you made about 14 grand.
Yep.
All right. So the reason why I'm breaking this down for you guys is it's not like we talk about them doing massive deals now, but this is the shit you got to go through to get to these deals, right? So they're making, 100 grand on one, splitting it between each other, making 40 grand on one, giving 15 to, Shannon for his efforts, and it's slowly, slowly growing from there.
Just getting the confidence along the way that, this is where you want to cut your teeth, doing the little ones and the twos and splitters and, getting the confidence and then learning the process. So this one here was just, once again.
So this is a DA flip in Brisbane.
Yeah, DA flip in a suburb called Indooroopilly. It's a difficult site, quite sloping. So a lot of people, didn't want to know about it. So we got that approval through, run the numbers, and we're like, okay, to construct this is actually going to cost a fair bit. A lot of people undercook the construction costs. So we thought, well, if we can get X amount, we'll on-sell it. And so we put it on the market, tested the waters, and we decided to exit once we got that approval.
This was also during COVID, and property wasn't flying at that time.
Yep.
We'd just gotten out of those other two blocks. And
what year during COVID was this?
This is 2020.
2020, so we, 5 years ago.
We sold it in 2021 just as things were starting to move, but it was still a clunky site, and it was only just moving, so we sold it at the front end to COVID.
So basically this one was a DA approval for three lot subdivision. Now you got here four JVs. Can you explain the four JVs?
Yep. So you want to do that, Shane?
Yeah. So we used Carson, myself are in it. Our JV partner we used on the other projects, and my other business partner from the machinery company, he jumped in on this as well.
Yep. Cool. And what was your percentage roughly on this one?
I think that one was roughly around was a sliding scale again. That was the last time I think we did the sliding scale.
That wasn't working.
It took a bit longer than we anticipated once again. I believe it was around the 25% where it landed in the end.
How long did this take you?
I think roughly. That one took about 9 months, give or take. Yeah.
So 3A. All right. So yeah, DA approval for 3-lot subdivision. Purchase price $940,000. Strategy cost of about $168,000. Net profit of about $311,000, which you guys would have made roughly, you know, $76,000, $77,000, and then you guys divided amongst yourselves.
Yep.
So at this point, Shannon, you're still working full time?
Yeah, still working full time.
You're still working full time. This is on the side. Carson, this is your main thing.
No, I'm still working full time.
You're still working full time. You're cleaning carpets.
None of my business.
So I want everyone to be aware, right? We're now into their 6th, 7th deal, and they're both working full time and doing this on the side.
Yep.
Okay.
This is, I literally quit carpet cleaning around just as I put this option to deal. So this was on the first two subdivisions, the 3-lotter and the 4-lotter. This was on the same street. And
how did you find this one?
This was on Gumtree. So
listed on Gumtree.
Listed on Gumtree.
Not on realestate.com.
Realestate.com.
Yeah. How did you know to look at Gumtree? Is that a place?
That's one of the things I learned. It was to look on outside of, you know, Gumtree and some of the
You can find nominations, final contest.
It's free. Yeah. It's free to list on Gumtree.
Even Marketplace. Right? I know people have bought deals on Marketplace. I've made offers on Marketplace.
Well, the thing is, like, you know, coming, you know, being in real estate, realestate.com and real commercial is not cheap to advertise on. So if there's eyeballs in Marketplace and Gumtree, it's good for people to know.
Two of our biggest deals have also been in Queensland. It's cheaper to advertise on Domain. Some of these land bankers actually don't want to spend them a couple hundred bucks to put a listing on realestate.com. They're only on Domain. And I predominantly look on realestate.com. So I've got my son looking on Domain. He's found a couple of projects that I haven't been looking at.
He's picked up one of our best deals off of Domain.
Yeah, gold.
So
awesome. Look everywhere.
So this one is a call option flip. So what's a call call option?
Sorry, call option means. So I think this was 18 months. I had the option, but not the obligation to go through with the option deal. So basically, you got the contract that sits underneath the option document, and the option document you control the property, but you don't own it. So you can actually pass on the property without incurring stamp duty. And as long as whatever you and the vendor agree to in that option, if you get an approval, for example, on some of our options, we're clearing vegetation on a site and don't even own it yet. But if the vendor agrees to it, you know, anything goes essentially. So with this one, we'd just done the other ones, but the koala habitat, I think had just come February 2020, I believe this was, new rules had just come in and all the ecologists just weren't really sure how they were going to review it. So I spoke to every ecologist and it was just a little bit gray, and I'm a baby at this point. I knew one bad deal was just going to cook me. So I just couldn't take the risk, and I just quit carpet cleaning. And that was, you know, 80% of my carpet cleaning wage. And I made that in a number of months for doing, you know, essentially a little bit of homework, coming up for concept and then passing it on to another developer.
So basically secured an 18-month option. How long did the deal take in total from when you purchased to resell?
Took a few months. The vendor didn't want to speak on the phone. His English wasn't great, so we did it all via email.
Okay, so call it 3-4 months. Purchase price was nil because you're actually not purchasing anything. You're just putting a call option over the property. Strategy cost was $990, which I'm assuming is going to be solicitor's fees.
That's my legal fees, yep, right. Option document.
And a net profit of $39,010. Now, I love this. Sold privately to another developer through a Facebook group.
Yeah, there's plenty of Facebook groups out there. Like I said, whether it be Gumtree, Facebook, a lot of the developers hang in the same spots, you know, looking for off-market deals. And
bought on Gumtree, sold on Facebook. $40,000.
Exactly.
Love it.
So this is another one that brought to me off market through agents. So at this point, I'm like, I'm just trying to build as many relationships with agents as I can, let them know what I'm looking for. This one was a potential 3-lot subdivision. I run the numbers and it was just a bit too tight. So I was like, I was just going to walk away. And then I was like, and I've walked away from many deals like this before. It was the first time the light bulb was like, why don't I try and, you know, just done the option deal. I was like, no, I couldn't get this under option, but I can just pass it on as a spotter's fee. So once again, post it on Facebook. Hey, I've got this deal, signed a non-disclosure. an NDA, and that a childcare operator picked up the site, paid me a spotter's fee, and because it didn't work for childcare centre, it was going to work, but for a subdivision, it was too tight.
So this is called the Ashmore flip. So
literally money from nothing.
Yeah, but what did you have protecting it? Anything?
Nothing. I had the agent that had the property off market.
Yep.
And I said to him, look, if I bring you a buyer, but I don't want to share in your commission,
yep.
I will get paid by the developer coming in.
Yep.
It doesn't matter if I buy it or someone else. He didn't mind. And we had a relationship. So he was like, well, if you want to bring someone in and they're qualified, then let's do a deal. So,
interesting. So again, purchase price zero, strategy cost zero, and a finder's fee, which is total profit, right, of $40,000.
Yeah.
So things are starting to get juicy now.
This one was interesting. This is like kind of the last deal before me and Shan actually created a company and got going. So this was another one, came to me off market. I was ringing, doing my 3-month ring around to all the agents going, hey, you got anything coming up? I'm in the market. And he said, look, got this bit of an awkward one. It's really, really steep going off the road at the front there. And this is the one where I figured we could get some yield down the bottom, but
it's a 90-meter fall.
Yeah, it was really, really steep. You couldn't get, it wasn't even a 20% grade. So everyone was like, oh, you can just get 3 lots up the top maybe. But I was talking to the engineer and Shannon was like, they're like, oh, you can't, the grades, you know, it's too steep. And we're like, well, I'm pretty basic guys. Like, can we just spend like $1 million on dirt and like create, a big ramp down there that gives us the right grade? Because if we can get, we can spend $1 million on dirt if we can get all these lots down the bottom. They're like, yeah, we can do that. And we managed to come up with a concept where that worked. It was just asking stupid questions and having a good team. So we come up with a concept layout, managed to secure it under due diligence, went to council, had a pre-lodgement meeting to get their thoughts on it. We had a bigger concept and I had developers offering us 7 figures to take this off their hands. The council said, we're not going to give you that much. We may give you something less. So we ended up doing a deal with one of the developers that had a site just around the corner. Because at that time as well, we had some deals that were coming up under delayed settlements, and we were just like, we don't have, once again, it's easy to get excited about the bigger numbers, but we knew we were babies, and we just said, let's take a quick win here. That literally took us 3 months of the time I put that under contract. And that one I couldn't get under option, so I actually sold the company because it was a clean entity that we created. Like, I sold that company onto the new developer coming in.
That's a good strategy.
Yeah, Tweed's a slow-moving beast as well. When you to get an approval in there, like one of the next ones you'll see come along, it's a couple-year process to get the approval in place, and we couldn't afford to hold it at that stage.
So basically, you signed a contract, it was off-market, did the DD, did a design for 18 lots, which was in council but not approved, and then you approached another developer who bought the actual company that owned the company that was on the contracts.
So sold the shares.
Sold the shares.
Literally had a pre-lodgement, a set of drawings and a signed contract. And we...
And this was a purchase price of nil, obviously. Strategy cost $4,500, which would be solicitor fees, I'm assuming.
Yeah, solicitor fees.
Consultant.
Bit of consultant fees.
Yeah. Design.
Net profit of $535,000. And this is just you and Shannon at this time.
And that's when I went.
No JV partners.
That's 10 years of cleaning carpets.
Is that when you
in
quit?
In 3 months. And I was like, no, we quit it a bit early, but this was like, okay, we're on our way now.
You're on the way.
Yeah. So you think about the last 6 projects, we didn't even make anywhere near that.
Correct.
But I'm learning slowly and trying to think outside the box, and I'm hanging around other developers that are thinking outside the box.
What was, like, obviously doing those first handful of deals and making $20,000 and $40,000 and $50,000. What made you keep going? Was it like, shit, I can't keep cleaning carpets all my life? Like, what made you go, when you know, this like $30,000, $20,000, it's a lot of work. Some of it's my money, some of it's not. What made you push?
$20,000 is a lot of money. When you're on $100,000 a year, or I think Cass was on $50,000-$60,000 a year.
Yeah.
$20,000 is a lot of money.
Yeah.
For the year as well. Like, that's
it can change people's lives.
Yeah, it changes your life. You holidays with the family, or upgrade the car, or do whatever you want to do. So that was great.
Yeah.
Yeah. I could see, all of a sudden I could start to see, the pathway, and I was watching other developers that were
half my age killing it. I was like, 18, 20-year-old kids doing this with none of their own money. Like, surely I can do it, you know. So just watching and surrounding myself around other people that were kicking goals, all of a sudden I, you know, borrowed their belief and their confidence, and then, you know, I saw them, you know, to start off with when I was doing joint ventures, I could only see my benefit. But then as I've come to realize now I'm bringing investors deals, and now I'm like, okay, we're doing 50% splits and we're not putting our own money because I know the value we're bringing to the table, and our margins are really strong. A lot of people are struggling to get 10, 15% return on their money. They come into a project, give us half the profits. They're still making more money than if they buy an investment property and gamble on the market. So yeah, we can give them a clear strategy in and out.
Well, that's right. They're getting the same return on their money anyway, because the investor that comes in, we're giving them a return on their money like they're the bank.
Yeah.
So they'll get their 8 to 12%, whatever we agree on, and they get half the project profit as well.
It's that time of year again at Unemployable, where we're opening up our Unemployable business coaching program. It's over a 12-month period, and with that, you get private one-on-one coaching, group coaching, as well as private and live events throughout the year. You could get private coaching with me, and not only me, but our panel of experts that we have put together. These panel of experts have been in our network and are the exact people that we use in our business successes. People from branding, sales, marketing, our lawyers, our accountants, everyone that has helped build our businesses, you have access to. If this sounds of interest, go to www.unemployable.com.au/coaching and register your interest to see if it's a fit for you and us. Hope to see you there.
Yeah, all right. And they're not doing anything other than putting in the money.
So we bring the project to them. We go through all the DD. We develop, manage the project, and we go and construct the project.
That's still a great deal for the person putting up the money, because if you go out and lend money to third tier mortgage and whatever, you get 9-12% return. That's all you get. You don't share in any uplift, right? So the fact that you're giving them that higher interest rate and uplift is still a great deal for them.
That's on some of the deals. The majority of the deals, they're putting in the deposit and some of the working capital as their 50% return. Sometimes later on, when we refinance, once we've got the approval, we'd have to bring in a private lender at that point anyway. So if people have got lazy cash around, then we can give them a return. But yeah, every deal's, that's the cool thing about property developments. Like what two people agree to is, you know.
And as you get more experience and do bigger and bigger deals, your terms are just get better and better, right?
Like, yeah. What I love about this is we've seen 8-9 properties and every deal is totally different.
Yeah.
Right? From smaller margin to sliding scale to options and 4 JVs and 2 JVs and money partners and like everything's different. So this is, this is why I love the project, the development space, because this is a business now, right? It's not just an investment strategy. This is a business now, right? Where you're being very, very, very creative. On how you're packaging these deals up. So this one here, for those of you guys that are again listening on Spotify and Apple Podcasts, highly, highly recommend you to watch this on YouTube, because they've got aerial shots of every single development. So right now we're looking at one. It's a 4-lot subdivision. They've got it carved out. You can see the exact 4 lots. Some are pie shaped, some are long and skinny blocks, and it's showing it right around, it looks like kind of acreage, farm, a bunch of bush, which is quite interesting. So this one is a 4-lotter with DA approval, construct and sell. So tell us about this one, Carson.
This one was an interesting one, because I'd done a course about learning about options and sending people letters, and I did about 300-400 letters, and you know, you're paying $1 per letter, and it's a lot of work to actually pre-qualify. You know, doing all the due diligence before you, just not just a scattergun approach. I'm only sending it to development sites. So it was taking me weeks and months, and I was just getting nothing in return. I'll get some phone calls. I'll get about a 3% call back rate. And then I started putting, you know, tea bags into people, get something chunky in their letter and handwriting on the front. It sure takes time, and my open rate was a lot higher. And this one, I think the lady rang me up and said, I'm having your cup of tea now and reading your letter. And, I just said, look, if it's a win-win, then let's have a chat. So we sit down with her. It was great, because this is the first deal me and Shannon did together as our own company. So she had it appraised at $850,000 by a real estate agent. I said, look, I need time
So, because I want to get the approval through before I settle. So I said, if you can give me a 6-month settlement, we went backwards and forwards and we landed at 910,000. So she's not paying comms to an agent. She gets $60,000 more and she's already been land banking this for 10, 15 years. Are you going to wait another, you know, 6 months for guaranteed 60 grand? For a lot of people, that's a hard yes. So
was she living there?
Yeah, she was living there with her husband. They owned another property just up the road. And she said, look, we're never going to develop. I was waiting for a developer to actually send me, because I knew someone would come along eventually. And, you know, a lot of people were like, you know, don't want their properties to be developed, and there's plenty of those, but there's a lot of people that are just there waiting for that, you know, that big payday.
And a lot of them don't want to deal with agents.
A lot of them hate agents.
Yeah, they're just waiting. They're just waiting for that person. Like, you can't tell me that an agent or agents wouldn't have been knocking on their door at some point, right? But they're probably just ignoring them. They would get letter drops. They would get all kinds of stuff. But all it took was a letter with a tea bag, and here we go.
So, yeah, this one, so we got the approvals, the fast track DA. It was actually approved in 3 weeks, and we didn't have to do the detailed design, which is called the operational works. So during that 6-month period, we lodged the DA, it was all approved, and then we got it valued during that approval, during the settlement period, I think it increased by roughly 200 odd thousand, which we used that soft equity, which is the difference between what we paid for it and what it's now valued, that can form your deposit.
So let's repeat that again. So basically you got a 6-month settlement, right? So that gives you 6 months, right, before you actually need to pay the lady the negotiated amount.
That's right.
You then put in a DA.
Correct.
Right, which is a development application to council. You then got the DA within 3 weeks. Is that?
Yeah, a bit of front end when you do fast track. It is quicker, but you do all of your reports and stuff up front, which takes a bit of time, and they have a look at it. But once you lodge it, it's approved within 3 weeks.
It's approved, okay.
Yep.
And then you've got it approved. You then went back to the bank or to a funder and said, revalue this now that it's on 4 lots and not just one house on one big lot.
Yeah. So you got to remember, before this, we were using, a lot of it was bank money, and we're using our private lands. We didn't have any serviceability. So we're just like, we have to do JVs. And then a light bulb, you got to remember that 4-lot subdivision we did previously, he got wrapped up by private lenders. So I was like, I'm never dealing with private lenders. They're all sharks that they loan to own, you know. So I was like, I was terrified of doing any private lenders. But then I was seeing other developers that were, you know, saying, well, this, you don't, you actually, it's the first time it dropped in my brain that you don't need serviceability when you're doing, if the development makes money, they'll fund it. And that's when my mind blew. And I was like, well, I don't need to do joint ventures anymore. Like, we still do them when it's appropriate. But we're like, we're on here. All we need to do is, we can get time and get a bit of enough uplift, we can basically do any size deal.
The interest is less than the equity that you're giving away over time.
In Melbourne, I'm not sure if it's the same here, but anything over 3 units or anything over 2 units is considered commercial, and you're no longer assessed on serviceability. You're assessed on the merits of the project.
That's right. So you've got that uplift. We had to put in a little bit of extra cash, which we, from the previous deal, we put in a little bit and borrowed some money off my folks and paid them a 20% return on their money as well. And that got us enough to get into this. This is, you know, if I'm telling people what I should do for my first deal, I'd be like, go find one of these. So essentially the strategy costs look high, but that's the holding cost, agent fees, you know, all the bits and pieces in and out. But the actual, I think Shannon built that in 3 weeks. Wow. And
So the purchase price was $910,000.
Correct.
Right? Now, what was the... So are you saying that when you got this thing revalued, it got revalued at about 1.1?
It was just under 1.2. I think it was 1.175 or something.
Yeah. And then you've used that, what Carson called soft equity, towards the deposit, because they were using a non-big four bank lender, right? And so it was more around that private money.
This was our first private funding deal.
First private funding deal.
Yeah.
And then you had to tip in. How much more did you have to tip in with actual physical cash on this?
I think it was like 170, give or take. 130, 170, somewhere around there.
So 170. So they put in about 170 grand of their own cash. Now the purchase price was 910. Strategy cost was 615,000, net profit of 770,000, which is what is that? About a 450% return on your money, give or take?
We're in and out of that deal in roughly 5 months as well, from when the time we settled to bought it to the time we settled all the other blocks.
400%. And how long?
5 months. You know, and
this is your best. This is your best deal to date at this point.
Yeah, well, the strategy cost that includes the tax and all the bits and pieces.
Subdivision as well.
The subdivision cost was only like 170,000
for service.
They're about 150,000 to build that. It was really just a big concrete driveway.
Yeah. And when you say Shannon did it, did that $150,000 go towards you?
No. Okay. Well, yes, the hire of equipment. I didn't take any wages from it.
That was the cost.
Yeah, the cost of machinery.
But this is the beauty of the strategic alliance partnership going, okay, well, rather than us going and paying 300,000, right? Someone's making 150 grand or 250,000, making 100 grand. Let's just do raw cost, 150 grand.
Mm.
And you guys are then splitting the 770. That's where your margin's made.
Yeah.
So Shannon just quit his job to start this deal. So I got it right up ready. So it was shovel ready. And then he quit BHP and then came and jumped into this project, and then we've been running ever since.
This was a really good project. Even when we got the DA back, we made a plan. All right, we've got to go through, read through all the conditions, work out what we have to do. And as we're reading through it, everything said, no op works required. And we're like, we can just build this thing now, book a pre-start and go. We rang the town planner and he said, yeah, that's right. You can just book a pre-start and start building this. So we're like, righto.
Bang.
And we ripped into this one really quick.
Cool. Do plenty of these deals, you can find them.
This was a stocking filler. It was a we had a gap of like 2 months between this one and the next deal that we started, and this was around Christmas 2023, I believe. 2022, I think it was. So we it was an auction. Unfortunately, the guy passed away, but it was a hoarder. The house. This is it was literally waist deep in. There was we had rats running up our leg as we were shoveling the stuff out of there. Like it was.
I think we removed from the front of the block to the house where the granite flat was. It wasn't too far. It was about 70 or 80 meters. In that distance, we took about 4 semi loads of steel and rubbish. That was the stuff that was everywhere. And we removed about 8 vehicles and a caravan and a tractor. There was just so much on site. We really didn't cost how much we had to pull out of this project. How much?
Cost a lot for weight.
Yeah.
So every single project we've done has warts. And that's probably what we've carved a niche into. We look for sites that aren't your flat corner block that every man and his dog is going to want. We try and find something that's got a little bit more challenging, there's a bit more margin in it. A lot of people don't understand how to go for the approval process, and if you've got a title, you've got right away, you can clear some vegetation. This was all koala protected, so we're going to do a tiny little pad. So we just cleared the pad, got an approval so someone could come in and build the house. So we just want to get in and out nice and quick. Once again, it took a little bit longer than we thought, but it was just some money in between a deal. We've got a few months, let's just do this in between the next one.
Cool. So this one basically was just a block of land, you guys cleared it, put a house pad on it and sold it.
Yep.
Yeah.
453,000 in, strategy cost of 75, net profit of 72,000. How long?
I think that took like 6 months. It took a bit longer to sell the approval
process. So these are just little juicy ones you guys are doing in between.
Yeah.
Right. As you're going. So you're not just doing like small ones like this. You could be doing a few at a time.
Yeah.
Really. That's right. As they come up.
Again, this was actually private funded as well. So we used
of your own cash.
Did we put a deposit in this one?
We put a little bit of cash into it, but yeah.
Yeah, we still had a block left over on the prior property as well, which we used as equity.
Yeah. And
the same lender of the prior project actually lent this one for us as well.
Interesting.
Okay. This is kind of one I had put under option. This has been on the market for like 6 years. So everyone had forgotten about it. COVID had hit. I remember I actually tried to on-sell this to another developer before the COVID boom. And then I knew it was sitting there, and I was watching. I saw an acreage block come up for sale, and the blocks were only selling for, you struggle to get a four in front of them for a 1 acre block in this area. And then one went to the market and they had multiple offers on it, and it was like 530,000 it went through. And I was like, the deal works now.
Yeah.
Before the data got through, to the market, I just jumped on this site because I knew the numbers weren't work. I said, look, you probably want a bit too much. you give me a put and call option for 15 months, I had to settle on it. So that's the difference with the put is you it's like an unconditional contract, if you like. You can still pass it on without stamp duty through that period. I was going to do it as a joint venture, and Shannon said, stuff it, let's do it ourselves. Let's have a crack at it. So yeah, we got the approval. It was already had an approval. We improved it. You'll see the cul-de-sac head. That did go all the way through to the road. We shortened it up so we didn't have to build as much road. And it was 11 lot acreage subdivision. So we moved out there because we're like, this is our first kind of bigger deal. We have to get it right. So we moved into the existing house and camped out there and came home twice a week and just smashed it out. And we built that. So the time we settled, we had a really big uplift. So I think it was 2.25. The valuation came in around the 3 range. So we used that soft equity once again as a, to form our deposit. And I think we only had to put in which we borrowed another 170,000, which was our consultant fees in our deposit. Deposit was 100,000. We went in and out of that deal in for the time we settled. For the time we paid back the loan, it was 12 months.
So this was 11 lot subdivision, construct and sell within 12 months. About 170 grand of their own cash because they used the soft equity in the uplift because they had a 15-month put and call option. Like Carson said before, with a put and call option is you have control over the site, and they cleared the trees while still under option. So obviously the vendor agreed to that. And by the time they came to, they didn't even have to settle the site. They would have on-sold it and purchase price of 2.25. Strategy costs $2,050,000, which most of that was privately financed, and a whopping net profit of this one of $2.7 million. So this is your first big hit.
Our feasibility didn't show that much profit, so there's a few things to learn on this project that was really good. Carson had been watching it for a long time and they wouldn't budge on the price. Their number was 2.25 and they wouldn't come down. But it was just like he said before, he had his finger on the pulse with the surrounding market at the time, had come up to meet it, and we were the first ones to approach him for it.
How did that feel at that point in time when you just made $2.7 million? I'm assuming you guys would have split it between you guys, and that's about, I don't know, 30 years of carpet cleaning.
Well, it's funny because we picked up other deals and we're feeding the other deals at this point because this is when all the interest rate hikes were happening. So it was actually a hard slog to settle. We just paid back the lender, and then took another 6 months before we actually because the developer gets paid last, obviously. So the bank was paid back, and then it took another 6 months before we got paid for the profit, but we were also in other deals, so we were like all of a sudden we're feeding the next beast as well. So there was never
never a paycheck sitting
since day one. We've never taken and still to this date a cash injection out of it. We've just been paying ourselves enough that we need to live on, and we've been reinvesting everything.
That's
the but the equity the just developer. Keeps building. It is the right for the developer.
Yeah,
asset rich cash poor.
This was a nice sweet deal we did as a joint venture.
This is the one that we've seen, right?
Correct. Yeah.
So for those of you guys that don't know, what we did last year is we took all of our coaching clients on 2 coach buses for the day. When we went around and seen, I think it was about 8 or 9 deals. Most of the deals were Shannon and Carson's, and a couple of them were mine and Adam and I's. And we went for the day, cruised around between Gold Coast and Brisbane, 2 coach buses, and we made a workbook and broke down every deal, and we went literally to site, got out of the coach buses, walked the sites, and they explained to us exactly what we're explaining to you today. And we'll be doing that at some point this year as well, because I thought that was a great day.
Yeah, so this one, 8 lot subdivision, joint venture, from an awesome couple that I met in one of the communities we were in. This was an interesting one because there was no sewer and water in the area. So a lot of people looked at it and went, you can't subdivide, but I could see over the back that they had the same problem and they solved it. So we had a pre-lodgement with council, realised we could. I pitched it as a 7 lot subdivision because I wasn't sure if we'd had to put in a stormwater basin, because we had a community total subdivision. We basically put some stormwater control under the road, so we're able to create an extra lot. But we pitched it at, I think, about $470 a block. I said we could sell them for at a 7-lot subdivision, and we sold them for $550, and we got an extra lot. So the profit was significantly higher. So we always like to undercook it when we're selling a deal. And yeah, it ended up going really smoothly. So
it's a community title subdivision.
So think of a townhouse where you're paying body corporates each week. It's the same here. So yep. You're paying, I think it was $18.55 a week.
Is that because it's a shared road?
Correct. So essentially, everyone had to mow their own grass, and there's no pool or community facilities. But it was the sinking fund to replace that concrete driveway in 30 years. That's how it was calculated.
The reason we went that way is we had the depth, but we didn't have the road frontage to do more than a couple lots. So we had to go community title to get 8 lots out of that project.
Basically, what we're looking at is 8 blocks for each side with a road basically split right up the middle.
Yeah, if you're not doing a council road, the road can be a lot skinnier, which makes sense, because if we were to do a council road on that, we would have lost 2 lots.
Curb and channel.
And this one here, you got a joint venture partner, which I'm assuming is probably one of the original OGs.
This was our new JB party, actually. And yeah, we split that profit down the middle. We didn't put a cent into it, and they were stoked. They more than doubled their investment, just over a 12-month period.
Purchase price of 1.375, strategy cost of 1.94, net profit of 1.431, so 1.4 million. This is a tiny little profit. How long did this take you?
That one took, from the time we settled, which was in December, I think it was like a year, maybe 15 months.
Yeah. So obviously, as you guys were going through here, how many are left on there, Stuart? Roughly.
We'll flick through them.
All right. No, that's fine. So if you go back to that one, the reason why I was asking is because obviously some are taking a year and a half, some are taking a year, and they're not doing this, they're not finishing one and starting another, or else they'd be here for 10 years, right? Mm-hmm. They started together, 5 years ago, four or five years ago. So they're doing multiple of these at the same time. So when you're actually calculating these out, and one's making $1 million and this one's making 400 and that one's making 50 grand, it's accumulating at the same time.
And that profit is getting rolled into the next development. It's not a bank balance that's building, and that's the nature of the beasts.
Yeah.
But you're building equity.
That's right. Building equity. So we'll run for these a bit quicker. This is the one across the road. We came to us off market. The sign had gone up. She goes, I'm just letting you know that I'm about to put this on the market. I was like, whoa, give us 24 hours. We'll meet you over there. I broke it down on the square meter rate that we paid across the road, and I calculated what it would have been for this site. I said, look, the last site went, it was an expression of interest campaign. We paid the highest amount. So let's assume that is the market value. So we applied that same rate to this property and said, look, let's do a deal once again. Got a delayed settlement. It was all approved. By the time we settled, we were good to go. And once again, we were in and out of that in, the construction period, like 3 or 4 months.
Yeah, 3 months. Timing couldn't have worked more perfectly. It was like those projects across the road from each other. We quite literally walked the machinery across the road.
This is the one where there was actually houses built there already when we had to go see it. So here it's vacant blocks, but now it's basically it's a 6-lot subdivision with people literally living in there.
Mm.
And again, there's another $1 million, $1,040,000 in profit within 3 to 4 months.
Yeah, this is one that Shannon and I did on our own. So we didn't share that one. That was nice. This is one that we actually, a couple of years earlier, had got under contract with my old previous joint venture party. Had a lot of difficult sites. This is the one I actually bought off Tony, which we filmed a previous pod with.
Yeah.
So what
we're looking at here, guys, just to cut you off one sec, Carson, is a DA for a 30-lot subdivision in Tweedheads, which is in northern New South Wales, which is known as to be not the easiest council to deal with.
Yeah, we needed to hold this. So I said, look, we're buying it really well, but I couldn't get private money to do it because we were going to have to hold it for too long. But I said, look, if you're buying it really well, if we get this approval, it's going to be worth significantly more. We had some issues. We had to drop it and then pick it back up again. And during that period, from what we originally had out of contract, we got another $300,000 off the price because there were some issues we had to work through. But it took 2.5 years to get a development approval that might take me 6 to 8 months to get on the other side of the border, which is literally a couple of kilometres up the road. So knowing the council that you're in. There's, you know, they don't have the statutory timeframes in New South Wales where they can, you know, they don't have to get back to you within a certain period of time. So, but we knew that because it was difficult, once again, we like difficult sites, that the uplift would be there at the back end. So this is actually currently on the market. So if we don't get the price we want, we will develop it ourselves. But we're this is one that we're looking to flip on. Otherwise, we'll
continue. But I love it because it's all strategy. Like, you knew it was going to take, you know, two and a half years, approach the JV partner who's got a bit of cash there, give them a bit more equity on their money. You know, strategy costs $480,000. Purchase price of $2 million and then potential profit of $1.9 million. Everybody's happy.
Yep.
And again, all while you've been doing all these other ones, because like you said, this was two and a half years ago.
Yeah, these are all starting to overlap. This is another one that took a lot longer.
This site was very challenging.
Yeah.
That's the one we went on as well, wasn't it?
Correct. We had some power line issues. We had major gas main down the boundary. We had... it had an original 22 townhouse approval on it. We went back and tried to get 14 lots, ended up with 11. But in the end, we had a builder approach us off market through an agent and offered us a number that did make sense to develop it. So
how long did you have this one for?
A long time. That was 2.5 years-ish as well. Where we had a lot of... We ended up going not to court, but we had a deemed refusal, which is like a process for council were taking too long to approve it, so we had to go into a negotiation period, then it had to go to the court to get approved and bits and pieces. So it was a lot of learnings, took a lot longer, but there was still a tidy profit at the end of the day. So
still another $1 million of profit on a purchase price of 940.
This is the other one that we took you guys to on the property day. This is up in Tambourine Mountain
Church.
Similar to the very first deal I did, it was an old dilapidated church and hall, termite ridden, asbestos everywhere. I mean, a typical demo, we're paying about $40,000. We paid about $120,000 to demolish this thing. It was really bad. But it was on the three titles. We could see that, if we could clean it up and put the titles back on the market, then it would work.
So our purchase price reflected that. So we went up to the agents and viewed the property. There was a little bit of homework because it has a different zoning. It's got partially, it's more of a commercial zoning than a residential zoning, but it does have a residential use as long as it's designed correctly. So there was a little bit of strategy around the trees and the ecology around there, which Carson was across. We met the ecologist up there, and basically the site had to be cleared before the buildings were taken away, which had to happen anyway, regardless for the demolition. But that's the process it had to follow. We actually made an offer on this. It was going to auction a week later, was it, Carnes?
Correct.
And we made an offer on this early, which they have to take through to the seller. They were indicating they wanted north of 1.2 because that was what one of the other blocks had sold for just around the corner. And we put an offer in at 900. The agent just about laughed at us and said he didn't want to take it through, but he had to. And we ended up picking up at 915.
You got to push it, eh?
Oh, yeah, you have to offer before auction too. We don't like going to auctions. We won't for that emotional
takes that
reason.
Emotion. Yeah. Make bad decisions.
Yeah. So it's a little bit slower. We've sold one. One of them's under contract, and we got hopefully another one coming later this week. But yeah, they're starting to move. But we had to, once again, solve the issue. Like Shannon said, it's a commercial zoning, so we had to actually draw up a house that had a little commercial use at the front, like a, you know, hair salon or whatever, you know, accounting business, bookkeeping. So they had that dual use. And so we had to draw that up, do some renders and cast that vision.
What I love about this one is anybody can do this one, you know, or even, you know, someone in their mate. Like, it's a $915,000 purchase, $135,000 strategy cost, potential net profit, $545,000.
And no approval process.
Because they were already subdivided.
There was already three lots. So the only permit on the property was a demolition permit.
Yeah, so similar to that other one that you guys did, which was already on the three lots, and then the other one, the two lots.
Yep.
And it's amazing that this was on market. Like, this isn't, people that are listening to this isn't like off-market deals that you don't see, or you're scouring Facebook Marketplace or Gumtree to find that diamond in the rough. Like, legit, you go on realestate.com and it's there.
Well, this one was on commercial sales because it's a commercial zoning. It wasn't on realestate.com. So Carson found it on commercial sales, and that's how we come across it. we've obviously got all this deal in real estate.
Soon enough, you're going to be finding these deals at the Carrara markets.
This is another one that we took the bus tour to. I mean, I think they were asking 750 originally, and that's why you got to keep watching sites, because the market will condition the vendor. They'll find out eventually what the market will pay. Very difficult, had koala habitat zonings on it, and it was very, very steep. Nobody wanted to touch it, because if it's got a title, even if the whole thing's covered in bushland, you're allowed to put a dwelling on a block that's got a building entitlement. So you've just, there's obviously restrictions about how much you can clear, and you've got your bushfire zone, but for a lot of people, that's too hard basket. So we just went through the process, designed a house, and we're about 2 or 3 weeks away from cutting in a nice pad. So then a mum, dad can ring up Metricon or whatever volume cookie cutter builder they want to use and put a house on it. And it all of a sudden, it's nice and easy for them. But, you know, builders didn't want to look at it. It was too hard. And I could see between the bush when I walked up, you could see the top of the Q1. And I was like, we can clear this.
Clear that.
And now we've got amazing skyline views of surface paradise.
It was funny. I remember when we pulled up in the in the buses and I was having a chat. And next thing you know, I look up and you got like, I don't know, 20 or 30 people. They climbed all the way up to the top, and like in their running shoes in the bush, in the mud. They're just...
There was no convincing you to go up there.
Oh, man. No. Honestly, I reckon Shannon was the leader. Come on, guys. Come. Look, you could see the spear at the top.
Eric's been at the top of the gold Dolce & Gabbana. He's not going to climb a tree for fucking Circus Paradise.
He wasn't getting those shoes dirty.
No, this was actually... This is actually a cool site. Again, another one anyone could do. 530 grand, 90 grand in, potential profit of 210 grand. Like this is juicy, you know? Like you buy that house for 530 grand, right? You got to wait a long time for that thing to get to 740.
Yeah. All right, Shane, let you take this one, mate.
This is my one and only find. Carson's our acquisitions guy, so.
This is a big number on you. This is a potential profit, but this is a 30-lot subdivision in the Gold Coast.
Yeah, very, very tricky site. Very flooding constrained. It's got its own, basically, there's its own planning scheme just for that area because of the flooding as well. So we're working through a few different factors there. But I found this property when my daughter was playing netball. She actually just come off. I was sitting with my little fella in the car trying to keep him busy while my daughter was playing netball and scrolling through realestate.com, and I found this property just around the corner. It'd already been through an ELI process, and I started ringing the agent straight away. He didn't answer my phone call when I told Carson about it, and he started going, I can't believe I didn't see this. So that,
on market as well?
On market, yeah. Yep. Realestate.com, been through an ELI, and then I flicked it over to Carson. The agent answered him straight away, of course. And then the negotiation started, didn't they?
Yeah, so it was good because the market had already conditioned the vendor that the big price wasn't there because it had the constraints. So we did a bit of DD. This is probably the one we've taken the biggest risk on because they needed a short settlement. They'd already bought a proper unit and a retirement type setup, and they needed to get out. So we got like a 4-month settlement, but it needed to be a cash offer. So we were kind of in a position now that we can handle a worst case scenario. There's about an acre that's out of flood. So we did, once again, you're going to have multiple exit strategies. So you can see we're going for 30-lot subdivision, but we worked out that we can do, I think it was 6 or 7 lots.
Yeah.
And
get worst case scenario, plan B.
A bit better than break even. And, you know, we're like, okay, the upside's so good, let's roll the dice on.
So how far into this one are you?
We're about to lodge the DA, and I'm living there at the moment, about to lodge the DA in hopefully the next week or two.
And
looking good.
You've already settled?
We've had a pre-lodgement, already settled. Yeah, we've had a pre-lodgement with council. We've been talking to a local MP. Support's been good, but it all hinges on the cut and fill balance and the flood modelling, which is where it's all going to come down to.
Is there any JVs in this, or is it just you guys?
It's just us.
So obviously, you know, purchase price of 2.375 plus closing costs and whatnot. So obviously from the projects that you guys have done, earning money, dumping it back into something like this, and then strategy cost of 7.5. So this is... If they go full blown and they get the 30 lot subdivision approval,
Will you build it out if you get the approval?
No, we'll just sell land. I'll keep one of the blocks because it's close to the kids' schools.
Yeah,
even though they're 400 square meter blocks, you got, you know, the parks across the road. So, And this is also need a mo.
And this one's got a potential net profit of 6.35 million.
Mm.
So as you can see here, guys, you started off not making a lot of money, giving away, you know, taking 15%, you know, clips and giving away 85% and then, you know, 70, 30s and these types of deals to now 3-4 years later, converting your own deals and making some serious cash. And this goes into the next one, which goes even higher again,
mm-hmm.
which is a 45 lot in Stockley, which is here. Is it considered Gold Coast Stockley?
No, it's Logan City Council. Yeah. This is the one my son found. So we looked at it.
How old is your son?
So he's 15 now. He found it when he was 12, and I was like, oh, that's too hard basket, mate. We can't do that one. Yeah. And then we were looking for new sites and had a lot of constraints. There was a poultry farm that was too close, so that the first line of the approval said you cannot develop this until it's decommissioned. Long story short, we got an OTA report done which said you can reduce that buffer zone down to 250 metres instead of the normal 500 metres. So we had to unlock the approval and did a minor change to the approval to get that removed out of the conditions. So we improved the DA, the layout and whatnot. So we've just had it valued recently. So it's been under option for... be 22 months in total when we settle next month, and we've had a valuation, commercial valuation at 10 million on the dot, and we paid 5.83 million. So that mm-hmm. once again, that soft equity, we're using that as our deposit for our total development cost is, I think it's roughly 11.5 million. Once again, we're using all that uplift because otherwise we'd be putting our hand in our pocket for that extra,
yeah.
you know, 4 odd million.
But the key to this is the 15 month. Option,
yeah,
and another 7 month settlement. So you got 22 months, right? Well, you got 15 months of basically not much risk other than the money that you're going to be paying for the consultants to do your due diligence throughout that time to actually see correct. What you can squeeze out of here. And to be honest with you, even if it was not 45 lots and you could squeeze half of it and it was half the profit, it's still worth doing.
This right. this is yeah. what we call asymmetric risk in the macro world, right? Like you've got one sided, your risk is relatively small, but your upside is very, very high. Right. It's asymmetric.
Like the purchase price of 5.83 million, strategy cost of 15 million, of 15.8, potential net profit of 9.4 million.
So this is our first big bank finance as well. So we stepped away from the private lenders.
Is this one? Is this the one that you just got approved for?
Yeah. yeah.
So correct. I'm not sure when this will be launching, this podcast, but these guys, literally, I was here with them. We were at the studio and they got the approval. Shannon got the approval phone call and Carson was sitting down and he's
thankfully.
Like, you want the good news or the bad news? And it was like, all right. I forget what the bad news was. And then the good news is like, we just got approved. And it was like a smile. And I was like, yeah, well done. And that was about it. And I was like, shit, man, you better be celebrating more than that. This is a big deal.
I've learned not to celebrate too early.
Yeah.
Don't celebrate.
When the money's in the bank.
Don't celebrate right. your debt.
No, good on you, man. Good on you.
The important part of that.
Is this one of the last ones?
This is the last one.
Yeah.
The important part on that last deal, and I just want to point it out, with that 15-month settlement, then for the financiers to see it, you got to prove that uplift
yes.
as well. So you have to show that you've made a design change, you've had the minor change in the DA. But they want to see that. They want to see that time that you've owned it or controlled it. So it's typically 12 months. You won't, if you buy that property and quickly do the DA changes or do a minor change, and 3 months later you get an uplift of a couple of mil, they won't realize it. Mm. They want to see it. They want to see you controlled it for 12 months.
Interesting. Yep.
All right, and the last one is Ganalaba, so 70-lot subdivision in Lismore.
This is an interesting one. We EOI campaign, I think we won the EOI campaign for 3.6 million or somewhere around that number. Had a lot of issues, and the more we dived into it, it was just like, this is not going to stack up at that. So we dropped it and just watched it once again. You've got to keep an eye on it. And two other developers picked it up, did due diligence. Fell over. So we got to the point where like, okay, what's our worst case scenario? Let's made a cash offer 1.8, landed at 2. So we've already got 70 lots there. It's a very, very steep site. So we're working through that with council, and because I've had all the floods down in Lismore, they're very, very proactive council, very keen to see new development, and we're in the process of trying to rezone the balance land. We've had very positive discussions with council, and you know, there'll be multiple hundreds of lots in there if we can make that work. So we just put question marks for numbers because it's telephone numbers. If we can, we've got to balance 100 acres that we can, you know, council are typically doing 800 square meter blocks. They're like, can you do more? Can you do 450 square meter blocks? Yeah. They just need floods.
They're asking us for higher density in that.
Wow, that's beautiful.
You look at that parcel. Yeah, you look at that parcel of land. For those of you guys that are watching, it's a big, big chunk of land.
It's 180 acres all up. 70 lots is over 40 acres. There's another 40 acres of ecological constraint in the valleys, and the developable area outside of that is another 100 acres that we're going for the rezoning on. So,
have you guys settled on this one? Have you got another option?
Yeah, we settled on it because it made sense at the 70 lots. This is just that's just cream if we can get the.
This is a microphone drop kind of stuff.
This is the big one.
The strategy, the purchase price and the strategy behind that was farm area or farms of that size in that area are going for that price. So our worst case scenario.
Sell it as a farm.
Is we sell it as a farm without a DA approval. But we know for a fact we can develop the first few stages, then it'll be unencumbered.
That's a no-brainer.
It's amazing to have gone through each and every deal and to see the progression into getting this deal done. Mm. And it's like, I think the benefit and the curse of having so much information at our fingertips these days is we see something being done. So if we started the podcast with this case study, people out there would be watching it. And they'd be like, oh, yep, I'm going to try and set my sights on doing this. And then you come up against a couple of roadblocks, you hit some hurdles, your confidence takes a hit and you're like, fuck, it didn't work.
Mm.
And I think that's one of the biggest issues that we face in such a information-rich world is that we don't actually get to see the progression of the highlights reel that everybody's showing on their social media or in the course of this.
And you don't get to see inside the deals. Like, I don't know anybody else, right? And I've been watching property stuff for a while and podcasts and different things that people are so public about what they're actually doing and breaking down. Yeah, this was a JV. I made 15%.
Yeah.
This was a JV. I did a sliding scale and I fucked up and I could have made more money.
No one chooses that. And ChatGPT can't tell you.
No, and this is how real and raw, right, that these guys actually are to sit here. And as soon as when I met them and started understanding a little bit more about Shannon and Carson and their journey and how open they are, everyone in business is like, everyone's got their cards to their chest because they think they got the secret. There is no secret. And you got these guys sitting here going, here's a workbook. Here, come see, physically see the sites. Doing these breakdowns, showing you where they are, how many lots. Like this could be how many lots? 70 into maybe?
We've done an indicative layout of 400. We won't get that many, but yeah, we shoot the stars and see where we land. But look, it feels weird going through the numbers, but that's what I wanted. When I started, I was like, I want to see the numbers, like, because it's all well and good, you know, people just talking about a deal. But I was like, well, what are the numbers and how do you... How do you put the right numbers in a feasibility? Because feasibility is only as good as numbers you're putting in it. So I found this really helpful when I was learning when people would share the details. I mean, you, Adam, and yourself asked us to come on the podcast beginning of last year, and we said no because we're just like, we're happy. This flying under the radar. We don't really want to do any of this stuff. But then after the property day, you know, you guys approached us and said, hey, do you want to come do this unemployable property? And at the end of the day, I'm only sitting here because – somebody taught me along the way. For people that are cleaning the carpets or doing a job that they're not enjoying, how else are we supposed to learn? Like, I was never going to go to uni. So I had to find a course or someone that could mentor me to do this. And so, and we've been doing it for free for a couple of years, people that we know to help out anyhow. So we enjoy the process. And then we went, you know what, stuff it, let's get out of the comfort zone. Yep. Sure, we'll get all the, few random hates here and there, but at the end of the day, like, you know, the people that we've helped and they've come back to us and said, hey, we're doing this subdivision because you helped us and give you the gift they got from the real estate agent. I get a kick out of that.
You're not really winning until you start getting the hate. When you start getting the hate, you know you're really winning.
Where did that come from, Stu? The you got to piss off 80% to find the 20%.
The whack.
Dolak.
Yeah,
right?
And Nassim Taleb basically says that in order to amplify your it's the haters that amplify your message, not your biggest fans.
Yeah. Mm. And the beauty of this is what we're going to be doing more in the free Facebook group as well, is breaking down deals just like this.
Cool.
This pod's free. And it's just a bunch of, a lot of information to take in. And I know listening to this might be a little bit harder, but if you're watching it and you physically see the sites and the subdivisions and the breakdowns, it's unreal, to be honest.
I just think it's worth reinforcing the point. Like, you're going to learn about ecologists. You're going to learn about plans and permits. You're going to learn dealing with council. Those things are all going to come. There's no course out there that you can kind of study, learn all those things and memorize them, so when the time comes, you're going to be able to use them. You're going to have to learn those things through experience. But I think what you've been watching today is so important, because it's the blueprint of exactly how it gets done step by step. All the other things, you will learn because you have to learn. So unless you have a learning disability, you're going to learn those things as you go. But people often think, what's the next step? And they get caught and stuck because they can't take that next step. Well, you've basically just seen this in 20 steps. It's a blueprint. It's a bloody blueprint. And if you can accept the things that you don't know, that you will learn as you go through the process of doing these projects, you can write your own ticket to anywhere you want to go.
And what I love about it is the abundant mindset, right? It's not like, oh, can't talk about this one. This one here. Oh, this one's a Madraba. Don't say Madraba. We'll put this as MIA, incognito, Jane Doe, all this type of thing. It's open. It's real.
Abundance mentality.
It's authentic, because there's so much of it out there. It's thinking about it in abundance and not in a scarcity mindset. And that's what I love about what we're doing with unemployable property. Imagine being able to be guided by these guys on a weekly, on a monthly basis. There's going to be deals brought back to us, which is already happening with some of the clients that are going out there. And what I love about Shannon and Carson is they're conservative.
Yeah.
Right? They're not going, okay, yeah, here's the uplift and we think we're going to get an extra $2 million, so let's put that into the feasibility. And our build costs are going to be cheaper because Shannon could just go and get on the machine. Well, no, if Shannon breaks a leg, well, guess what? He can, knock on wood, that doesn't happen, right? He can get on the machine. So it's going to be 300, not the 150. Plug that in, right? Worst case scenario. And that's what we'll be teaching others, not these vanity metrics. So you can feel good by going, oh shit, I've got a 40% net margin, not a 25%, which is the real net margin that you're probably going to get. So it's exciting. Guys, I really, really, Mark and I, really appreciate what you guys have put together here today. Obviously, it's taken a bit of your guys' time just to put this together. And again, I'm repeating it again, for anyone watching on Apple Podcasts or Spotify, highly, highly recommend you going to YouTube so you could actually physically see this. You'll see us on the pod, and you'll see each breakdown of the deals. You can see the aerial photos. You can zoom in and the full breakdown, and they have, little blurbs beside each one as well. So I just want to say thank you, Shannon. I appreciate you, and same to you, Carson. Really appreciate you and the relationship that we're creating, and we're going to be making big changes in the education world in real estate in Australia. You guys, for anyone that is interested, register your interest at www.unemployable.com.au/2025. Register your details there, and we'll keep drip feeding you information. We will start with a free Facebook group, and then we will be running a full coaching program around property and land subdivision and other small scale developments. Mark, it's been a big day.
Yeah, it's been huge.
Appreciate you and appreciate your time and the effort that you put towards the Unemployable Podcast. For those of you guys that can't see, we've negotiated a sponsorship deal with with Mark. He's finally wearing the Unemployable T-shirt, so we're paying him now to wear the T-shirt. But if that was true, that would be funny. He actually got spaghetti sauce on his white T-shirt from earlier, so We've always got to back up.
I've been holding back wearing it. I'm like, nah, not until I sign the $1 million contract am I going to wear it. But I've just gone and caved and sold my soul.
All right, guys, you know the deal. Unemployable podcast. Like, subscribe, share it around. Every so often, you'll see us on the side of a bus on the Gold Coast. We'll have to Photoshop Shannon and Carson's heads in there as well. But yeah, that's a wrap on another amazing property podcast. Thank you very much again, guys.
Thanks, lads.
And
thank
we'll you. See you guys on the next one.
Hey there. I hope you enjoyed that episode of Unemployable. If you'd like to watch another episode, just click there.